Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. So 7 days into the airstrikes in Libya, NATO has agreed to take command of enforcing that no-fly zone over the country. That's the military headline. Also, the U.S. continues to command attacks against limited ground force operations against Muammar Gaddafi's forces. They're bombing them from the air, but those commands will come from U.S. officers. Again, those are the two military headlines. But let's remind ourselves of what President Obama said was the mission in this military operation in Libya.
What this is a very specific military action that's time-limited, that is in support of an international effort to prevent a humanitarian crisis in Libya.
Now, the humanitarian crisis that the president is referring to there is the humanitarian crisis that was presumed if Muammar Gaddafi launched a civil war against his own people, the opposition in Benghazi and other forces around the country.
Exactly.
But, of course, when the bombs start falling, vulnerable civilians don't particularly look for whose name is on the bomb. If you're vulnerable, you move. And that's what's happening in Libya. And we may have another kind of humanitarian crisis in the wake of all of the fighting that's been taking place around Libya. Joining us now from the border of Tunisia and Libya, from the Shosha refugee camp in Ras Jir, that's in southern Tunisia, is Rashan Khedive, who's the UNICEF spokeswoman. Rashan, first of all, good morning. And what are you seeing in terms of the kinds and numbers of people streaming towards the Tunisian border?
We have around 7,000 people in the refugee camps. This includes around 350 families, obviously many of them with children. We continue to respond with vaccination, distribution of hygiene kits and child-friendly spaces. And while we are trying to respond to their needs, obviously we are very concerned about the impact of the ongoing violence on children and women inside Libya.
So the refugee component is one part of this humanitarian difficulty that the international aid organizations are attempting to address. Mark Ward is sort of focused on the other component here. He's the lead on humanitarian assistance for Libya with USAID, which is a division of the U.S. State Department. Mark Ward joins us from Washington. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
If people can't move in Libya, what are your concerns about people stranded, short of food, short of water, short of medical care, and in a no-fly zone? I suspect that aid or agencies have a limited ability to get stuff into Libya.
Well, I mean, as the president said, the purpose of the military effort is to prevent a humanitarian crisis. And for the most part, that's working in eastern Libya. I mean, we were fearing a siege of the cities of Benghazi and Tobruk on the eastern coastline of Libya before the military action started. And we haven't seen that. So that's very good news. But you're absolutely right. In other parts of the country, in the west and on the border that we just heard from, we are seeing people flee because in those parts of the country, they're held by Gaddafi's forces. We are seeing shortages. And in some cities, we're even seeing bombardment of civilians.
Would you say that the bombardment and the no-fly zone and the military activity that certainly escalated in the last 7 days has created rather than prevented a humanitarian crisis, or would it have been a humanitarian crisis either way?
We were fearing and looking at options to help the cities in the east under siege because we saw Gaddafi's forces closing in. That has not happened, and that's very good news. But in the west, sadly, Gaddafi's forces are taking action, bombarding and attacking in, for example, the city of Misrata. And we're looking at ways that we can get in there with humanitarian assistance, but our options are very limited because the city is basically under attack by Gaddafi's forces.
That's Mark Ward with USAID. Rashan Khedive with UNICEF. As I understand it, there are actually stockpiles of medical supplies and food from various organizations waiting either in eastern Libya or other points for the moment when it becomes safe to get them in. Under what conditions is it then safe to perhaps at least transport medical supplies, transport food and clean water into places like Misrata where doctors are complaining that they don't have what they need to treat patients?
Yes, it is true. UNICEF and other humanitarian organizations have supplies and teams in place. And, of course, we support the resolution, and the resolution demands that all attacks against civilians have to stop. So it really depends on the Libyan authorities. They have to make all measures to protect civilians and stop the violence against them and provide an unrestricted and humanitarian access to us. That is the only way to ensure that we can go in and do an assessment and respond to the needs of these people.
Roshan Khadivi of UNICEF, can you give us a sense of the scale of what might be the population most vulnerable here? And are you hearing stories from refugees who are distinguishing between being vulnerable from Gaddafi's forces or being vulnerable from allied coalition forces bombing from the air?
Well, the people that I come across, they're mostly afraid of the pro-Gaddafi forces and the violence, you know, being kind of implemented against them. So it's mostly also they are migrant workers from South Asia and Sub-Saharan Africa who take refuge in the camps. And obviously, many of them have families. The Libyans that cross to Tunisia, usually they go and stay with communities or cities. Inside Tunisia, they don't stay in the camps. But my colleagues on the Egyptian side of the border with Libya have seen more women and children fleeing. And, of course, most of the statements coming from them also includes violence against them by Gaddafi forces.
We're talking with Roshan Khadivi, who's a UNICEF spokeswoman on the border of Tunisia and Libya, observing the refugee impact of the escalated fighting over the last 7 days. Before we go, Mark Ward from USAID, that's a division of the U.S. State Department, how much time do you think we have here? And refugee crises have a habit of persisting. You know, some have gone on for decades, and we're going to talk later on in the program about refugees still left over from the 1948 war in Palestine. Nobody expects that to happen here, but time is not on the side of civilians. Mark Ward?
Well, we are pre-positioning food. We are pre-positioning medical supplies. Should the situation persist for a long time and should the situation deteriorate in the east? But so far, we are hopeful that the situation will continue to be stable in the east. But just to be sure, should the situation get worse, we are moving supplies in should we need them in the long run.
And just a sort of an innocent question. I mean, obviously, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton can call Barack Obama anytime she wants. Can USAID call up the Pentagon and say, hey, we need to get a plane up?
You know, in the disaster business, we work very closely with the Pentagon.
All right.
Yes, we have a lot of people in each other's offices to coordinate.
That's good to hear. Mark Ward, lead on humanitarian assistance for Libya with USAID, talking about the humanitarian impacts of 7 days of fighting in Libya. Thanks so much.